What's up, everyone? Taylor May here with Security VIP. I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of our podcast series, Your Home for Nothing But the Truth. And hey, if you're passionate about sharing the unfiltered truth and want to be featured in a community that's all about it, Security VIP is your home. Our community boasts over 2,500 end users in the security industry, spanning from sectors such as retail, gaming, entertainment, education, professional sports, healthcare, government, and even more. So whether you're eager to boost your company's visibility, showcase cutting-edge technology, or you want to address key industry changes, Security VIP is the platform for you. So if you're ready to dive in, shoot us an email at info@securityvip.net, or you can connect with us on LinkedIn at SVIP. Remember, Security VIP is your home for nothing but the truth, and we look forward to featuring you in the next episode. Stay safe.
You think you know me.
Today on Security VIP, we feature the CEO of Savvy Solutions, Brock Weeks. Get ready for nothing but the truth. In a broken dream, and we'll leave it all
behind. On this day, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Security VIP podcast. It's your home for nothing but the truth. As always, I am your host, Taylor May. And on today's episode, we are featuring the CEO of a company called Savvy Solutions. His name is Brock Weeks. And honestly, I know nothing about this company, but I do know someone from the company. His name is Josiah. He reached out to me and I reached out to him. We've been knowing each other for quite some time in the industry and good colleague and peer of mine that I've known and want to learn more about the company, want to get more awareness around the company for my listeners. So I'm going to learn a lot today in this episode. But Brock, my friend, welcome to the podcast, dude. How are you?
I'm doing well, Taylor. Appreciate you having me on. Glad Josiah was able to connect us.
Likewise, man. You and I were speaking about this before we kicked this off live. Brock's out of Utah. The company's based out of Utah. Obviously, I've gone to Park City a couple times. And the one thing I like about Utah versus where I live now in Dallas, it's just the weather, dude. The weather is just cooler. Obviously, you know, like I tell this joke a lot, man. Like when my wife and I go to Colorado or like Utah in the mountains, us Texans, like us land people, are not used to that elevation. So it always takes us like, dude, at least 4 or 5 days to get used to that elevation up there, man. Which you're probably like, you know, Taylor, this isn't my blood. I get used to this every single day.
Yep. No, it's you go out and go for a run or go skiing, go for a hike with people that you bring out from out of town that haven't quite acclimated yet, and you forget. It takes a couple days to get used to being at 6,000 to 9,000 feet of elevation. So
man, there's a honeymoon story I have to tell you another day, because we got married back in COVID, so like our wedding got, you know, shut down. We took a trip to Colorado, and yeah, the first day on the trip we did a bike ride, and the wife will never let me forget that because of the elevation. So I'll tell you that another day. But this episode, man, is about you and the company. So I guess for my listeners, just give me some backstory about who you are, who Brock Weeks is all about.
Yeah. So been in the security industry for quite a while. Go back to my early days in 2009, started working with Vivint. At the time it was APX Alarm, looking to pay for grad school. So went out and did some sales for them for a summer to pay for grad school. 2009 was a great time during the economy, right? A lot of job prospects for new college grads. And did quite well out there, really was fascinated by the company and ended up staying on with them and running sales teams for them for a couple years, while kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do post-college. And in 2012, there was a big cash infusion they had from a private equity acquisition. And so I left the sales team and went over and worked on the corporate strategy team for about 3.5 to 4 years, where we just looked at all the different verticals that they could potentially expand the business into. Spent a lot of time looking at the commercial security market and what opportunities existed there, specifically kind of in the light commercial, retail service environments. Left Vivint, went and did some technology consulting, actually did a technology startup, exited out of that, did some more consulting in the security industry for 2.5 years. And that's where we really recognized the opportunity that Savvy, that we just didn't feel like anyone was tackling. And so decided to start Savvy around 2018.
Well, first off, I love the name. Savvy just I feel like clicks and resonates with people. It's just a very very compelling name. But that's an interesting background, and I'm going off your LinkedIn page here, Brock. Savvy's the cloud's first video platform for modern distributed enterprise brands and operators, etc. And I saw something on the website, dude. So I guess the before we dive into like the crux and the core of what the company does, the industries that you guys play in, I saw a lot of things around like food and bev, QSR, restaurants, is that kind of like the main go-to-market vertical you guys specialize in?
Yeah, right now we're really heavy in restaurants, food and beverage, specialty retail, and convenience stores. But really, it's if you look at the kind of the overall vision, the problem is the exact same. And anyone that's operating a light commercial space, which we classify as sub 10,000 square feet of physical footprint, and it's a distributed enterprise, so they're operating multi locations, right? Tens to hundreds of look or thousands of locations.
It's very interesting because I was kind of wrapping my brain around this. I was like, okay, cool, food and bev. I don't think like you look at like the enterprise players and the VMS space, like the Milestones, the Genetics of the world. Like, I don't think they would make sense in a food and bev kind of environment. So maybe that's like a niche that you guys have solved. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Is that kind of where you see the market share for you guys over the kind of the predominant players in the VMS space?
Yeah, if you look at that customer kind of profile that I just defined there, the physical footprint's quite small, under 10,000 square feet, oftentimes just a few thousand square feet, right? And you're operating tons of distributed locations. You have a unique spot that you live in that we feel like has been fairly neglected in the market. And that's that a lot of these smaller operators, right, they've used video solutions at home that are cloud-based, really easy to interact with, plug in, they just work and they know how to use them, right? You see the Rings of the world, the Vivint, Alarm.com's residential sides, Nest, you can just keep going on.
Right.
That obviously does not work in a commercial environment, though. And so they look at the enterprise VMSs that are out there that have this user management, that have some of the integrations you would want in a commercial environment. And the problem is, all of those were built for large footprint, large complex locations. And it's just not a fit. It just happens to be 70% of every commercial property in North America, though, right? So they're wanting cloud, easy to use, simple to integrate, really nice, clean interface. And they don't even have a lot of them, might not even have a designated security team. Right? It might fall under their operations or facility, but these are still good-sized companies that are operating tens to hundreds, even thousands of locations, trying to fit a square peg in a circle hole when it comes to a lot of this technology.
Yeah, and I want to make the point, like I'm not trying to like shit on like the Genetechs and the Milestones and the Salients of the world, but you know, it's like it's almost overkill for a market like this, and I feel like you guys fit the mold pretty well there, and that's one of the interesting things too. Like I was just reading more about you guys and hearing you talk about the company is, it reminds me of the early days, dude, of like Brivo and like on the access control side. Like Brivo, like their main footprint is SMBs, like just small, medium-sized businesses, and they have a market share and a price adoption there that is just makes it makes sense and it clicks and it's easy and it's efficient. And you mentioned, you know, organizations that might have not have resources or, you know, security teams. Like it's just a good mold. So are you finding that you see other? Or maybe you have, do you have synergy with Brivo or any other access control players that are cloud-based as well when it comes to your VMS? Are you kind of seeing that parallel with your business?
Yes, there's definitely a parallel there, and there's a few that we're actually exploring partnerships with more on the API integration side of things. Kind of shout out for any of those players. There's a massive opportunity in the SMB, specifically food and beverage and retail market, that really hasn't been penetrated by access control. A lot of green space out there. So we haven't done a lot of integrations just because it doesn't really exist in a lot of these properties.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was, you know, because I know the guys at Brivo pretty well, and I know the kind of story there, how they started. But I think, you know, a lot of their go to market and area of attention is like 50,000 plus SMB customers. So not just, you know, food and bev, but it's like automotive shops and like flower shops, you know, just like some mom and pop shops that, you know, don't have the resources, like you said, but they need like a security solution. And I feel like Savvy plays very, very well in that market. And honestly, dude, that market's huge. I would even argue like the enterprise market is great, but the enterprise market could be a giant pain in the ass. And you know this probably better than anyone. It's just, it's just like the sales cycles, the bureaucracy you got to go through. Like working with an SMB, working with a mom and pop, like the sales cycle is probably a lot easier. It's a lot faster, but you're not dealing with so much headaches, Obviously, the budget's smaller, but the sales velocity there's quicker. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, definitely on the smaller the smaller side of things you run into that. What's interesting though is most of our companies and our end customers fall directly in a mid-market to actually enterprise customer. The pro right? So they have the complexity. These are big businesses. If they're operating 1,000 locations, right? They're doing hundreds of millions a year in revenue out of these locations and employing thousands of individuals. The thing about it is the actual on-site operations aren't very complex. And part of the reason why we started the company is we started to meet with them because we were doing some consulting for commercial integrators. And we were asking them about the pain points around the existing market solutions. We're like, well, why don't you just use this? Well, why don't you just do that? You have all these tools in place. And it came down to that they were difficult to access and use. They were basically built for a security expert and convoluted with a lot of features and a UI that was more built for an integrator or a security expert than an everyday user. And because of that complexity of interface, it was really, really difficult for them to use. And they were all site-based on premise. So they would have, and they were always wanting to look at it remotely. Well, if you just have one person trying to view video, yeah, that's great. But if you have a store manager, three above store managers, an HR team, an ops team, right? All wanting to derive different insights around what's going on in the store, and they start trying to access video. And if it's all trapped inside on site in a server, they have to use the local network to tunnel in and get it. And they risk it. Oftentimes found, they would start knocking out their point of sale terminals, third-party deliveries, all of these other services that were using the local network. And so they had to pull back usage and stop using video. The video and audio that they're recording, it's the two largest unstructured data sets that provide operational insight, training insight, safety insight, all of these different use cases, and they're being used as an expensive insurance policy. And we started to interview them more about understanding what were the questions they had. Most of the questions they had about what was going on in their stores were operationally based. It was just really hard for them to understand, were we opening on time? Were we closing on time? Are we following our brand scripts? We spend millions of dollars a year onboarding and training our employees. Are they actually following the guidance and the training that they're being given? We implement new programs. Are they being adopted the way that they're supposed to be being adopted? Why do we have variances of labor as a percentage of sales of 5%, right? If you're in the food and beverage industry and you're operating a location doing a simple, for simple math's sake, right? $1 million a year in top line revenue, and you operate 10 stores and you have a variance of 7% on your labor cost. That's a variance of $70,000 a year between stores selling the same type of product in the same general demographic areas, and you're seeing and same pay wages, you're seeing that much variance. Well, why? Right? There's just all of these questions that come up. The video and audio that the security industry's been deploying has those answers. It's just trapped on site, difficult to access, siloed so that it can't be integrated to any of these other systems to allow you to answer these questions. So that's why we set out to build Savvy. We said, like, great, let's unlock the power of video. First step, it's got to get 100% of it offsite in the cloud so you can start to unlock it to be tied to other data points, allow it to be searched by those data points, and then adopt AI to analyze it and provide new insights for these customers.
Well, that's definitely the value proposition you mentioned on the competitive advantages that you just hit the nail of the head on. And you know what's funny, Brock, is when I started this podcast 5 years ago, people talked about AI, of course. They talked about face rec. They talk about cloud. And the argument in cloud was people were just were number one, not knowledgeable of the cloud. And I would probably argue some people are still not knowledgeable of what the cloud is. But number two, they were just like in that dinosaur mentality, like, oh, it has to be on-prem. This is just how we operate. But you know what's really funny, dude? Like I work with so many casinos. I have a lot of casino friends in Vegas and Oklahoma, Michigan, et cetera. And notoriously, the casino industry has always had to be on-prem. But you know what's funny? Like the last 12 months, I have spoken with so many of my casino friends, the MGMs and the tribal Cherokees and the Choctaws of the world. And they're like, you know what, Taylor? We're actually looking at putting stuff in the cloud now. So I'm like, oh, you imagine that. You guys lived in an air-gapped on-prem deployment environment. Now you guys are entertaining cloud. Why is that? Oh, it's because, well, number one, the cloud is more secure than it was 5 years ago. But number two, the autonomy you have in the cloud versus an on-prem. I mean, that just makes more sense. And I feel like we're going to see more of that adoption. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but do you think more people that were predominantly on the on-prem kind of, industry standard server on a rack, environment, do you think they're going to now see more cloud adoption and definitely the food and bed, but also the enterprise landscape?
I do. Obviously, that's why we built this company. And there are certain use cases, right, where it's not the best option. But specifically in the markets that we're going after, it 100% is the best option for you to unlock the tools that you have. And more importantly, future-proof your organization. Like every other data set for every other technology has transitioned to the cloud. From your CRMs to your point of sale systems to your marketing tools, all of these have gone to the cloud because of the benefits. The premise has just been that video was too expensive and too bandwidth intensive to get off site and store affordably to do it. But you can do it today, right? That inflection point of technology has reached the point where you can do it, where we're processing billions of data points a day in the cloud, storing a few petabytes of data, and streaming tens of thousands of streams every day at an economical price point that's palatable for someone who's operating, 10 to 15 restaurant locations or 150 gas stations, right? You can actually do this now. And then the future proofing is where it starts to get exciting. You mentioned AI, right? AI and cloud, I feel like, have been buzzwords for the last 7 years. If you just walked around any booth, right?
Amen, dude.
They would just
Amen.
plaster it on there. And it's like, okay, well, what does this actually even mean? And really, most of the AI, if you can see me doing the air quotes, has been a basic analytic, right? It's a point solution. An example would be a human detection or a gun detection or a slip and fall detection. Right? These are simple algorithms that are just analyzing one single point. True AI would be looking at that same image the way that you and I would look at it, right? We don't do any complex algorithm that says, well, is the human, what is the pose detection of this person? Are they standing straight or are they laying horizontal? Right? You watch and look at an image or look at video and you get context behind everything that is going on and can understand and look and say, oh, yeah. Looks like that person actually just slipped, or they're actually just faking it, right? Based upon how they move. We take the context of the full scene, and that transition is now starting to happen where there are tools that can do that. And to be quite honest, even in the last 6 months, it's been progressing a lot quicker than we even thought it was. Our whole pitch and thought was great, let's get all this in the cloud. Let's provide these front-end tools around an enterprise level VMS, an event search database that ties point of sale systems, security systems, smart safes, access control, all those other data points together so that they can be searched and validated. And then as AI advances, we'll deploy that to be able to derive new insights for these customers and automate tedious tasks. Things that weren't possible a year ago are possible today. And we thought it would be 2 to 3 years till they were possible, and they're possible today. So it starts to get really exciting. And the nice thing about someone in the cloud, the thousands and thousands of locations that are operating on Savvy's platform or similar architected platforms, once we build out those integrations or deployment of that AI technology, we push a button and they have access to it. There's zero infrastructure change on site. And if you're operating a lot of locations, the expensive cost isn't any hardware. It's the disruption to your business to send someone out to replace and change things and rip and replace servers and maintain, where all of that's now done for you.
The scale is just so much easier when it's on cloud too, man. You can scale it to hundreds of thousands of locations on the cloud. A lot faster, a lot easier, and obviously it's a lot more secure now. Because I spent some time on the cyber side of the industry, and you know, people talk about AWS and Azure and the back policies when it comes to hosting things in the cloud. But I mean, it's super, super secure. So maybe talk on that a little bit, Brock, about the security of your cloud solution when it comes to your VMS.
Yeah, you brought up a fantastic point. The question we always ask is, what's more secure, especially in our customer base, right? A server that's sitting in a back office, most of these in an exposed rack, right? That's just the reality of how most of these places operate.
Right.
Or this a secure environment that an AWS, an Azure, a GCP, DigitalOcean, right? That those are all operating under. And then as far as being able to update patches, because no software is perfect, right? There's always bugs. And we all know we get our iOS updates or our Android updates, and then immediately following over a 90-day to 120-day period is just patches and security updates, right? And to get firmware right is really, really hard. Well, when you're doing it in the cloud, you can just release these updates so quick, not rely on the end customer to then have to do a firmware update to actually patch that security. You can just do all of it for them. So from a security standpoint, absolutely, it's a lot more secure. And the way that we approach it is, great, if you have a, you know, a hardware that you've deployed, because over the last, you know, 10 years, low-cost Chinese manufacturers kind of became, you know, 60 to 70% of the standard in the retail environments and the food and beverage space. There are, you know, security vulnerabilities there. Well, with tools like ours and others that are architected correctly, you can isolate those to your local network and then just allow any of the communication that's happening to be done through a third-party platform that has all that security in place without having to incur the cost to go rip and replace a few hundred sites. So,
no, I mean, you're right. And maybe it's just like a lack of knowledge thing with the food and bev space, because they're not maybe kept in tune of the latest developments in the security space. And they're kind of, you know, they're kind of force fed this bullshit solution out of China that it's not going to be the best solution. And but I do want to piggyback real quick. We spoke about AI. We spoke about AI a little bit. And I don't know about you, Brock, but like whenever I go to IC West or like GSX, and this has happened, man, I can't tell you countless times, but like when someone like shows me like a behavioral analytic, I just immediately think like you're full of shit. And I'm cussing a lot on this episode, but to your point about having like eyes in the sky, situational surveillance, what else is happening in the field of view? That's 100% true. But it's like, oh, Taylor, let me show you my behavioral analytic that's going to tell you what emotion you have right now. And like, I could have like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, I could have like like a straight face and they could say that I'm like happy, but I'm like, maybe I'm really pissed off, or maybe the opposite, you know, maybe I'm happy, but I'm really pissed off, you know?
No, 100%. I love when I go to those things, right? And it always just says that I'm angry and pissed off. I'm like, honestly, I think those know I'm fairly happy individual, right? I'm pretty happy about life and it's telling me I'm pissed off. There's been so much smoke and mirrors, right?
Amen.
The Amazon Go environment. We used to look at that because of the space we're in. We get asked at that. And I'm like, look, we've tested all of these different technologies and tools. It's not there. So whatever's happening, it's not actually there. And then come to find out there's people manually reviewing everything, right? And it's not actual true AI. So our approach at Savvy, which has allowed us to be able to watch a lot of this, right? Whether it was right or wrong, it was the bet we made, is that the analytics themselves and the AI tools would become commoditized or very specialized, and one company would not be able to keep up with the technology, right? Especially on a budget, you know, of a company doing less than a few hundred million a year in revenue. So our bet was the data set and the ease of deploying the models will become the competitive advantage and or the value prop for an end customer. If all of your data is already flattened out and related to other data sets in a cloud environment, you can really quickly say, you know what, GCP has a great analytic for this. You know what, Azure has a better analytic for that. And this ABC computer vision company over here actually has a fantastic analytic for this. And ChatGPT does a really good job at this. You can actually utilize all of those if you're architected correctly in the cloud, without having to make, once again, any infrastructure cost or change to the customer's site, right? Customer's business is providing good retail services or making burgers, making delicious pizzas, right? Serving really quick hot coffee.
Right.
Not worried about any of this other stuff, but the operational leverage and insights that can be derived from video and audio is really exciting. And that smoke and mirrors is starting to dissipate a little bit. And it still is, right? The behavior stuff, I agree with you. Most of it is still quite a distance away, but you can start to be really accurate of, right, in our industry. Great. Well, let's analyze this whole image. Like, what does my dining room actually look like?
Right.
How often is there trash overflowing and food left on the tables without guests present? To be able to accurately and affordably monitor that, even if, you know, a year ago was really, really hard, that can actually accurately be done now. And it can take into context of why it's reviewing in our industry. Exception-based reporting has been a standard for a few years. And our platform allows people to do that, has a great UI to do that. But the end goal was, well, we already know what's happening when a human's looking at it. And they're not just looking for loss. They're also looking for potential safety issues. They're also looking for brand compliance standards. You know, are they wearing their uniforms, personal cell phones in use, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a customer present when I'm issuing refunds or claiming to void these transactions and all of that? Before it was, well, one analytic would check if there was a customer in the customer area. Then you had a separate analytic that looked to see if it could detect cash, right? There was all these separate analytics, where now a simple model like ChatGPT or Claude or any of these, you plug it in and it analyzes everything. And it actually does it accurately. So it is starting to get exciting and less of the BS that has essentially plagued everything for the last 6 to 7 years.
Well, I was going to say, maybe, you know, you and me, Brock, we just have resting bitch faces where people think we're just pissed off the whole time. You know, maybe that's what it is. but dude, you're 100% correct. There is so much insight you can now derive in a retail setting, a QSR setting, a food and bev setting, beyond just your typical analytics that have been out in the market for so long. I remember, like, when heat mapping first came to the industry, and people were like, oh my God, look at this heat map trail. I can see where foot traffic is and why are people stopping there like that. Yeah, I mean, that was cool when it first came out, but there was so much more insight that you just hit on about additional intelligence that obviously analytics can help out with, as well as, you know, that surveillance aspect and the humane aspect too. I want to make that clear. It's like, it's great that we've got AI now and AI is actually working in a real application, but you still should have like a humane or human element on top of that to verify and clarify. Cause I mean, that's a whole issue that, I mean, look at like the cyber side, dude, like when CrowdStrike had that whole debacle, they didn't do a quality assurance check. You know, they just, they released that patch update and it shut down major airlines and stuff. But it's just like, you always have to have the human element to that supplement, which I think you would probably agree with.
100%, right? I look at AI, right? We serve industries that are very, very human focused in it, right? I don't go out to dinner to take and go celebrate with my family because I want a robot to take care of me, right? Like, you go out for that environment of, you know, being served, interacted, the fun, the noise, right? Whatever it may be, we all go and celebrate these places. We want to do, and what I think AI is going to do is amplify what people can do, right? We're going to make people extremely more efficient, but it's going to be a long time, at least in the spaces that we're serving, that you're replacing anyone, right? And on the safety side of things, I think you nailed on a really important thing, which is a lot of these companies like us, you have to start making early stands and plant a flag in the pole. Like for ours at Savvy, we won't do any PIIA information, right? Yes, the technology exists to do a facial analytic and identify certain individuals and whatnot, but right, there's just certain things that you have to ask yourself, like, am I okay with this, right? What is the right thing to do here? Yes, technology can do these things, but what actually is the risk if this goes wrong and misidentifies people, right? Even right. Down to something as simple as misidentifying someone's face on a clock in, clock out, right? That affects that employee's compensation and pay, right? And if they have to go a couple weeks without pay, there's just these certain areas you have to start to actually explore and ask yourself a lot of these theoretical situations and plant a flag in the sand of, this is where we're going to do it.
No, I agree. I think the whole, the why this is important, because you look at companies like IBM and Amazon, who came out with the Facebook analytic, and they essentially got shit on because it was racial bias, you know, gender bias, and they were identifying and profiling people of color incorrectly, you know. So, and they were like, oh, we're gonna back out, we're not gonna do this anymore. And then the other thing too, since we're just speaking about technology, you remember when I mean, what they call it? They called it fever detection cameras when COVID came out.
Yep.
Oh my God, that's the whole reason why I started the podcast, just to kind of exploit that. I was like, well, you're gonna buy a fever detection camera, you're gonna put it here in the middle of summer in Texas, and you can't tell me that I've got a fever when it's 110 degrees outside. You know, it's like, yep. Oh, asinine.
Quit telling me I'm pissed off when I'm actually happy to be in your store, right?
Like, oh man, you know, I could spend probably 3 hours talking about this shit and just shooting the shit about bullshit stuff in the industry. But hey, I want to highlight more of you real quick, you know, as we wrap this up. What, I mean, tell me, man, walk me through, obviously we hit on the go-to-market, but obviously you guys probably go through a channel, is that correct? You guys go direct?
Yeah, no, we're actually transitioning to the channel right now. Right, when you start any technology, you need to get validity out in the market, right? Learn from the customer, all of that. So we've done that to this point and had great success, and now actually transitioning to the channel.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, they've got the bodies buried, right? They've got existing contracts, and why not take advantage of that with what you guys have to offer? It just makes sense. I guess my main question, you know, as we approach 2025, like what are some goals for the company? I mean, obviously there's revenue goals, there's growth goals and scale goals, but is there something that's like, you know, this has been a weakness that we've heard from customers that we want to solve and fix, or you know, walk me through kind of the ambitions and goals for 2025, man, with the company.
Yeah, it right. The whole mission was to unlock the power of video and audio, right? To make the businesses that serve Main Street smarter and more efficient, whether that's smarter security, smarter staffing, smarter operations, whatever it may be, right? Let's unlock this data to provide those insights. And 2025 is the year for us where we see a lot of high leverage products and insights coming out of like true AI. And what I mean by that, I'll give you a couple examples. One, right, as I stated, we have tens of thousands of camera streams from these locations that's currently feeding into our database, and it's trained models to very accurately be able to re-ID vehicles and people using non-PIA information, right? The same way if you and I looked at a car pulling in one side of a Dutch Bros Coffee, and right. It had, it was a white Honda Accord, right? And then we see it coming around the other side, we'd look and say, oh yeah, that guy with the baseball cap's driving that white Honda Accord, it's the same car, right? We didn't do any analytic. Well, right. That technology now can allow these organizations to accurately track service metrics where existing tools cost thousands of dollars up front to put in, you know, loop systems, things like that, and aren't accurate, and only provide about a third of the actual experience. We've all been there where you're at the drive-through window and they're like, hey, can you pull forward and go park over there? We're going to still make your food. And you're like, well, can I just stay here till you give me my food? Right? Like,
oh,
and
man, then I hate that.
Out in that spot. Well, it's because there was no way for corporate to know about that. But like AI can now accurately and affordably with just three cameras track, you know, the entire experience of a customer. That's a very high leverage, high impact AI offering that has direct ROI to the bottom lines of these customers, right? That's one example of many. You talked about heat mapping. Yes, we can look at a heat map, but after a while it's like, okay, well, that area is really red and that area is really blue. No, right? Like, great. What do I do with that?
Exactly.
Well, now you can accurately say, well, how long on average is every guest spending in my location? And when they come in, how many go from here to here to here? And how many go from there to there to there, right? Like, right. What's the actual best case that we want? And what's their interaction like with our guests and, or with our employees? And are they following those brand standard guidelines? Are they following our scripts? All of that is doable accurately and affordable with the technology. And if you look at our roadmap, we're excited. We've got just 3 to 4 killer products in that area that we've been like had on the roadmap, been building towards. We didn't think they would be as affordable and accurate as they already are and now can go to market. We thought this would take a few years and it's all going to be out in this next year. So I do think 2025 for us and the industry in general, you're actually going to be able to start to see some of these high impact, high leverage tools actually come to market rather than the smoke and mirrors that we've seen in years past. So we're excited to be able to see where this goes and builds quite a large foundation to some fun technology challenges to tackle in the next decade.
No, that's awesome, man. Because we talk about security and surveillance in general, just these departments are viewed as non-revenue generating. And when you can flip the script and go tap into customer experience or player development or marketing and say, hey, look, we can increase throughput in the drive-through lane or in the car wash lane to, you know, eliminate these bottlenecks and eliminate dwell time and make sure customer experiences, they're in and they're out and they're happy and they're satisfied. And we can all do that now with technology. And I think that's a huge game changer in the security industry, because so for so long it's always been like we have to wait until something happens, we have to wait for something like a tragic event to happen, a shooting or a stabbing or a hit and run, whatever it may be, for someone to actually wake up and implement security. But now we're actually taking the security industry to more of a technology industry and saying, hey, look, you know, this is applicable for not just your department, Mr. Security Director, but your customer experience department, your retention department, your HR policy. If you eliminate someone, you know, or you want to hire someone, like we want to make sure the experience is a revenue generating experience. And obviously you tap into a whole different budget, which I know you know that well, man. It's like, hey, security never has budget. Well, what about marketing? How involved are you with marketing? Let's go speak with them, you know?
Yep. You unlock budget and you actually save the company money. Right? Because if you look right now, marketing's handling their own separate budget. You'll go in a lot of these locations and they have a separate piece of hardware that's managing just people counting. They have a separate part, right? They've got all of these different technologies. There's a cost to manage the vendor to deploy and maintain the technology and all of that. Where if they start to take steps back and say, all right, let's look at video and audio as a data set. What are all of the uses that it could potentially serve to our organization? The same way transactional data isn't just process a credit card, right? It informs inventory, it informs staffing, it informs product choices, right? All of that data is very, very valuable to the entire organization. When you look at video and audio the same way and you start to build out how you put things in the store and how you build your infrastructure, it actually in the long run and short term saves them money. Which is right. What everyone's about at the end of the day is what's the
no. It's why. You're right, man. It's a very compelling business case and a success story. Now we're preaching in the industry. So, Brock, for my listeners, man, if people, we'll have you back on the episode, dude. This is just one of many. I want to have you and maybe some of your partners or Josiah or whoever else. You know, open invitation, dude. As always, because I enjoyed our conversation. But for more people, man, that want to get more information about Savvy Solutions and yourself, where is the best place to do that?
Yeah. Right. They can go on the old World Wide Web, getsavvy.com, right, to check out our website. Brock at getsavvy.com is my email. And Savvy is SAVI, right, the single V there. And we're most all trade show events, right, from ISC to NRF, Protect, all of those different trade show events. Love to connect with folks. And this has genuinely been really enjoyable, Taylor.
Well, Brock, I appreciate the time, my friend, and I wish you nothing but the best in 2025 and happy holidays, my friend. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, same to you. Hopefully you and your wife have a Merry Christmas. We'll get you back out on a mountain bike one day.
There we go, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Brock Weeks. He's the CEO of Savvy Solutions. I encourage you guys to go check out the company. They are doing some interesting things. I'm like amped now after having a conversation with Brock. So you guys should definitely reach out to him as well as Josiah, learn more about the company. It's always cool when I get to highlight technology companies and companies like that on the podcast series. But if you want to get more information about our podcast, you can check us out on our website, svip.news. It is under construction. It will be set for a relaunch in January, but you can go check it out. You can connect with us on LinkedIn at svip. And wherever you listen to podcasts, we are featured on every single major streaming platform. So Spotify, Pandora, Apple, Amazon, iHeartRadio. The list goes on. You guys stay safe out there. We will catch you guys on the next one. I see clear.